Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their big drums.
I had an interesting experience driving back from Salida last night. I had this sense that what my summer has been like is yesterday had come to an end, which was really welcome, actually, because it's been a lot of movement, a lot of really great experience, and super fun, but, you know, that can get exhausting over a lot of time, right? And so, you know, just having Tiffany and the girls do the Colorado Trail this summer, and thank you, Brian. Me being on the support end of that, and just being able to drive out and meet them every 4 to 7 days, and as they continued to walk, the distance for the food drops kept getting further and further out. And so a lot of time on the road. And so proud of them for doing the 410 miles that they did. Going out to help Rachel move back to Colorado, our oldest, and then teaching at YWAM for a week. And then this last week, being on an adventure with two guys, Dave Eitmiller and Aaron McHugh, up in Wyoming at a place called the Wind River Range. I don't know if you've ever been to the Wind River Range. It's actually kind of hard to get into the Wind River Range. It's one of those places where the southern trailhead is a drop where the road ends, and the next road literally is 98 miles north. So think about Colorado Mountains, okay? Is there a stretch of 100 miles of mountains where there's no roads coming through, not even dirtways? It's pretty rare. And, you know, the mining industry is what, you know, generated all of that in Colorado, punching those roads deep into the wilderness to get a hold of the gold and the silver and all the different minerals and such that we pulled out and continue to pull out, which is fine. It's just they didn't do that in Wyoming up there in the Wind River Range. And if you've never been up there, it's actually south a bit and then east of the Tetons and Yellowstone and all that. It's kind of right down the continental divide. In fact, it is the Continental Divide. And the reason why I'm sharing that isn't really to pump up my adventure, although it was pretty epic. This is one of the pictures. And I have a couple pictures that I wanted to show you because it ties into what the Lord was speaking to me, because so much of what God does for us is he uses real life stuff to kind of convey what's going on in a deeper place in our lives. And so he's really good about that. That's why the Old Testament is so important for us, because it really is a representation, a type and shadow, as it were, of what God is doing and continues to do. And so it happened in the natural for a lot of people in the Old Testament. It's conveyed for us, even the New Testament, the book of Acts. You'll notice that the reason why the book of Acts is called the book of Acts is because it's the acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit interacting with people. And so there's a lot of activity that happens with God. And he uses our activities to kind of speak to us, including a trip like the Wind River Range. So Joel, I'm going to have you just kick it to the next slide. So there's a couple dudes with some attitude, because we decided that in order for us to accomplish this 100-mile trek through the high route of the Wind River Range, we were going to have to engage something of our tenacity, as it were. And so we were up at 5 and hiking by, you know, 7, and hiking seriously almost nonstop for at least 12 hours. And we'd get into camp around 7 or 8 o'clock, and we'd set up and we'd cook some food, and then we'd collapse and we'd start over again. And it took us 6 days and about 3 hours to complete this trek. And so there's my friend Dave in blue. I love hanging out with an older guy. He's 59 years old. He's an ultra runner. He's one of those guys that has disciplined himself in life, and he didn't start running until he's about 53. I'm just trying to inspire some people here. He didn't start running until he was about 53. And now he goes and he runs 100-mile races where it will literally take him about 23 hours of nonstop running where he runs through the night at high altitude. And he's not the only crazy man out there doing that, right? So there's a whole crew that are just running, and they do these ultra runs. They're 50 miles, they're 100 miles, they're 50K, they're 100K, whatever, you know. And so hanging out with a dude like that inspires me because, you know, I'm just 5 years behind him, but there are days when I feel like I might be 10 years behind that dude because, you know, it's just life is hard. And so what does it mean to be up there into that space? I mean, you can see the background. I mean, there's no – what we're standing on is – a place where people had cleared out the boulders and the rocks so that you could put a tent. There's actually really no trail. So there are some trails that we access the high mountains, and then once we get off of the trail intentionally and we're following map and compass, we're literally off trail for probably 80% of this. And we're above tree line for probably 80% of this. And so let's kick it to the next slide. So this is part of the terrain. We literally walk right across that. So it's one of the most glaciated sections of the United States, the lower 48. It's the most glaciers in the lower 48 is in the Wind River Range. And so glacier travel. So you're wanting to pack fast and light. You want to be able to move quick, but you need traction on your feet so you don't slide off these icebergs and end up down in the middle of some, you know, beautiful frozen lake. With ice, literal icebergs floating around and those things. And so, let's go to the next slide. One of the nice things that you'll notice is the weather held for us, which is great, because we did have about 2 hours of inclement weather where the temperature plummeted about 20 degrees in about 15 minutes. This is a camp, I affectionately call this the Sound of Music Valley for a couple of reasons. But primarily, it's just one of the most beautiful spots that I've ever camped in. And there's our three little huts and our three little tents. And, you know, you would think, well, why don't you guys carry like a three-man tent and you guys all hang out there? Well, we like our space. Hanging out, working hard with guys all day. You just need a little alone time. All right? But isn't that beautiful? I mean, that was as the sun was setting. Joel, why don't you go to the next slide? There's yours truly. Now, here's the deal about this. The whole reason why I'm showing you this, and the main point about my conversation with you today, my encouragement with you today, it's really about frontier with God. It's really about frontier with God. I had been up here before, about 4 summers ago, Dave and I, we were the beta testers on a route that the guy named Andrew Skirka had designed this upper route. And so he hadn't done every bit of it all together. He hadn't linked it all together, but he had done pieces and he had looked at maps and he had kind of blueprinted out like, I think this will go. And so Dave and I, about 4 summers ago, he and I went up and we did most of it. And we had to bail out because our third member had a knee that went on him. And so we wanted to see if we could go A to B. It's been done now many times by many people because after our input, Andrew published it. And so it was really great to be on that end of it and to be kind of exploring new frontier. Something that I'm sure other people have done it. I mean, we went through the Shoshone Indian Reservation as part of this. So I'm sure there's been Native folks that have been up in these hills for centuries. Long before this was even a nation, there were people that were probably cruising around up there. And yet for us in our modern era, this was something very new for me, and I really enjoyed being kind of stretched in that way. But I have to be honest with you, I mean, we felt very vulnerable. It's one of the most remote places, and we had a little tether. You know, you have these little satellite-linked devices where if you have to hit the SOS button, you just sit tight and hopefully a helicopter will show up. I mean, that's a nice safeguard. Helps my family sleep a little easier at night. Helps me be willing to take some risks and get out there. So I'm not advocating that you go out and do stupid stuff, but I am saying that there might be frontiers that God would be inviting you into. And obviously, I'm going to turn a corner here, and I'm not just going to talk about go on big, crazy mountain adventures. I'm going to talk about frontiers with God. All right? Let's go to the last slide. I think it's the last one. So this is the sunrise of our last morning.
Mommy,
and
I like my picture.
I kind of like that spot. You see how rocky it is?
Yes.
Slept really good, actually. I mean, you bust it for 6 days up there like that, you're going to sleep on anything. All right? So I want to talk about frontier, and I went ahead and just grabbed a definition, you know, that you could grab out of any, pretty much any dictionary. And a frontier is the extreme limit of settled land beyond which lies wilderness. So if you think of the natural, there was a time in our nation when there were settled lands and it became very familiar, it became very safe. It became very known, and much like the villages that you went into, there were settlements that had been established. And yet if you go beyond that, the edge of that settlement, then you start entering into wilderness, you start entering into the frontier. There's also a definition of frontier where you're kind of at the extreme limit of your understanding or an achievement. You're at the extreme limit of what you've accomplished in life or what you understand about life. So you might call that your comfort zone, whatever you might want to call it, but it's really just that extreme limit. And anything beyond that, anytime you're invited to go beyond what you have grown accustomed to and settled into in the way of thoughts and ideas, even your faith, you start to enter into a frontier. And so the big question, really, it's not me trying to define frontier this morning. It's not really me trying to, you know, justify whatever. I'm just trying to ask the question, what is the frontier God has you either currently in, or what is the frontier that God is inviting you to enter into? That's the big question. Let me read 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. In the context of frontier, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined the frontier that God has prepared for you. That place that's beyond your limit, that place that is beyond what you've grown accustomed to and is familiar with. So I want you to consider Abram in Genesis 12:1 and then verse 4. I'll go ahead and read this. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country. Leave your settlement. Leave the thing that you have known all your life. The thing that is most native to you. Most integrated in your thoughts and your emotions and your motives. Leave that place, even your relatives. Leave those who have been the most comforting to you, the most familiar to you. Even leave your father's family. And go to the land I will show you. Now, there's a frontier because he doesn't even tell him where to go. He just says, I want you to leave. And I want you to cross that line into a place of frontier. And I will show you where you will end up eventually. And then in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. All right, so you might be inspired by Dave Eitmiller, who's, you know, pushing 60 and he's running 100 miles. This guy, Abram, who we know as Abraham, whom we are the descendants of in a spiritual context, he was 75 years old. I guess the encouragement is that it doesn't matter what age you are, God has frontiers for you. All right? So it seems that God has a way of helping us not get too settled into our little settlements, and he has a way of encouraging us into some vast wilderness of new frontier. And I want to propose that there are external frontiers and there are internal frontiers that you and I might be invited into. Like, for example, Chris, he got invited into an external frontier. You've never been to Nepal. You've never been trekking up in those Himalayan mountains. You've never been into that space, and that was a frontier for you. And it stretched you, and it opened up new possibilities and horizons for you. And that was an amazing external frontier that you entered into. And it literally took something of you to get yourself there, right? And then simultaneously, you were saying that while you were being prayed for, there was something happening inside of you, and that became a new frontier for you as well, internally. So we have internal and external frontiers often happening simultaneously, but I don't want to get us confused about saying that this is all about external frontiers. This is not all about us packing up and leaving somewhere. It really is about us saying yes to the invitation of God inviting us into something. One of my favorite movies is Walter Mitty. And I love that part where the picture of the photographer, who I think the character, I think it's played by Sean Penn. And this, you know, he's kind of like a National Geographic freelance photographer, and he's just got the look, you know? This dude is adventure all over, right? He's like, yeah. And Walter Mitty's in his cubicle, right? And he's working for the newspaper, and he's, you know, he's geeking out on his, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, the black and white photograph of the photographer played by Sean Penn, he looks at this photographer. Walter Mitty looks at the photograph, and it's like the photograph comes alive and just goes like this. And that was a turning point for Walter Mitty. And it was at that point where it was like he had to heed that invitation. And for him to feel like he was who he was created to be, or maybe perhaps if he was going to discover who he was created to be and not stay stuck in that settlement, then he was going to have to heed that invitation. And I know that God is, and I love that character because for me, he represents Christ. I mean, the character of Sean Penn in that movie, he represents Jesus to me. I mean, that's kind of how Jesus looks to me. And that's kind of how he is too. He's like, yep, it's going to get rough and tumble, but come on. And I love that invitation. And so I think the thing is, it's easy to get celebrated for these great external exploits for God. It's much harder to stay the course when you explore new frontiers with God, and maybe there's a couple of your closest peeps who understand and are willing to talk with you about or enter into your frontier. See, so these internal frontiers might actually be a little more challenging. Sometimes I think we even like let the external exploits for God insulate us from the deeper internal things that God wants to do. Maybe it's, you know, the same with our work, or maybe it's the same with whatever we like completely envelop ourselves in as an insulator from what's going on internally. The Father knows our frame, and sometimes he will take us out of our familiar environment to reveal the things of our heart. So I'm not saying that, you know, you're not supposed to go anywhere. At the core of any frontier, whether it's internal, external, whatever that invitation is, the invitation, honestly, here it is, the core of it. It's about personal transformation. The Father's committed to helping us conform more accurately into the image of Jesus. He's committed to this because he wants us to be free, and he wants us to be full of joy, and he wants us to experience love and experience peace in this life of hardship and, you know, difficulty. And so the extravagance of God wishes that we would never get bored in our Christian experience. How kind of him. Seriously. And besides that, he loves it when his people extend their hearts and their hands in helping others, you know, like serving others. And there's no better way to do that than to be transformed from the inside out and let the motives and the compassions of Jesus actually motivate you to go do these things, right? And that's when we get to be Jesus on the earth and we get to enter into some frontiers externally as well. But I think it really does start in that internal place with God. So what is the frontier that God has you either currently in or is inviting you to enter into with him? I have a couple of thoughts about frontiers as you're kind of mulling that over. The first thought is that these frontiers rarely look like we think they're going to look at the onset. They rarely look like we think they're going to look like at the onset. Chris Haggerty and I went out there one fall, and we were riding motorcycles through the beautiful, you know, fall foliage, and we went to Monticello, which is Thomas Jefferson's place. And I remember you telling me this. I remember, because wasn't it him who, like, commissioned, you know, Lewis and Clark and that whole expedition, like, out into the frontier to discover a passageway to the other coast, to the West Coast. And the folks thought that the country was so fully treed from East Coast to West Coast that they had some notion that if a squirrel climbed a tree and started jumping from branch to tree, that it could make it to the West Coast without ever touching the ground. That's how they imagined it. Did I get that right? Awesome. Still got it. Yeah, it's fun. I didn't, because it struck me, because it really does speak to the idea that, you know, when these guys set out, they had a certain image in mind of what it was going to look like. No one had ever, like, gotten to the edge of the woods, and now all of a sudden there is this vast Great Plains. And then beyond that, there's the Rocky Mountains. And then beyond that, there's the Western Deserts. And then beyond that, there's even more mountains. And then, oh wait, there's the coast. Right? So you have this journey with God where on the front end you have this imagination of what saying yes might look like. And yet you find yourself in some terrain that is a departure from that, and it's really easy for us to kind of lose our way when it starts to look differently than we imagined it. Let's say God has you in a frontier of relearning how to relate to people in a more patient and loving way. That's quite a frontier for some folks. Think about it. If the settlement that you've lived in has its norms where angry outbursts and impatient sort of demands and control over people were the norm, and now the frontier that you're entering into is a season of being led kind of into the wilderness of what's behind all that, the deeper story of why those triggers are going off, talk about wilderness. And there's this exploration of how to be more like Jesus towards others in all of this. You might imagine everyone jumping up and down with glee that you've taken up this invitation to go on this frontier and that you're serious about your newfound courage to go there and all of these things. And yet it looks different, maybe quite a bit different. Maybe more barren and dry before you reach that distant coast. So don't get discouraged. Don't create a new settlement in the land of loneliness. A lot of the towns that stretch from the East Coast to the West Coast were established because people had just had enough. They found a little bit of water, there were some trees, there were some deer they could eat, or fish they could catch. And they were like, this is good enough. I just want to encourage you that anytime you say yes to a frontier with God, he has the big picture in mind, and it's probably going to take you longer than you thought it was. It's probably going to look different than you thought it was going to look. The people around you may not celebrate it the way that you were hoping they would, and you might find yourself in a lonely place. You might find yourself feeling very misunderstood, not quite sure if anybody really gets it, and yet here you are on this adventure with Jesus. Don't get discouraged. I want to encourage us to hear, remember the invitation to press on towards the high calling. Jesus is at work, absolutely at work. the others hope, you know, that you were hoping would celebrate your new journey, remember they have a history with you. Maybe that history has been defending themselves against your former self. Right? So there's new trusts that are being established. Everybody's at a crossroads. It takes time. And that's the thing about journeys. I mean, I know that, you know, to put the pictures up here and say, yeah, we did 100 miles in 6+ days. I mean, that kind of promotes this fast and furious sort of lifestyle of journey. Honestly, there were a few days in there where I was just like, can we please just stop and enjoy what's going on? I feel like we're flying a jet through this place. And over your left window, there's Gannett Peak. There it goes. And now, you know, so it's okay to just let it take some time. The thing about this is that in your frontier to new ways of, let's say, for example, being patient, find patience with yourself and the process that you're in. So in the Wind River Range, there are two distinct experiences. If you go from south to north, which we did, the first experience is kind of like that first picture that I had. A lot of water, beautiful green meadows, not as much snow. The second half is like the glacier that I showed you. You have to walk through the southern half to get to the second half. It changes. I mean, you have to walk through the stuff you're walking through now to enter into this unfolding dynamic of your relationship with Christ, what it means to look more like Jesus, so forth. So be patient with you, with yourself as you're kind of in this, because what the first half of this journey did for us and how it served us was it helped us find our flow personally, and it helped us enter into a team rhythm. It helped us just kind of like find some new norms before we got to the really hard stuff. Okay, some of you just got scared. Wait, is it going to get harder? Maybe, I don't know. But we'll get to the beautiful part about this, because here's the second thought I have. That a couple thoughts were that it rarely looks like you think it's going to look, and it probably is going to take a little bit longer than you thought it was going to take when you were on the onset. The second part of this is it requires a new way of doing personal growth. In this frontier with God, the success of your transformation does not depend on you accomplishing a goal that you set for yourself, but rather positioning yourself to receive the grace offered to you. Can I say that again? In this frontier with God, whatever it is, if I'm asking you what is the frontier that God has you in currently or that he's inviting you into, and it could be a myriad of frontiers. It could be how you're experiencing life at work. It could be a frontier of family, of parenting. It could be a frontier of personal, you know, understanding of God. It could be a frontier of hearing God's voice. It could be a frontier of doing, you know, something radically different in the way of occupation or ministry. It could be any one of those things, all right? In this frontier with God, the success, because remember at the core of it, it's about personal transformation. Whatever frontier God is inviting you into, he's inviting you to become more and more like Jesus. To reflect the image of Christ more accurately. The success of your transformation does not depend on you accomplishing a goal set before you, but rather positioning yourself to receive the grace offered to you. Let me push that out a little bit, and I'm gonna use the help of Terry Wardle. Jackie, thanks for giving this book to Tiffany. She was reading it to me in the car as we were driving. I was like, oh yeah, that's so good. I gotta read that on Sunday. Like, I can't just echo it. I've turned a corner, guys. I need to tell you this. Like, if I'm like just the echo, like a parrot of somebody else's great thoughts, then I don't feel good about myself afterwards. Like, if I pretend like it's my big idea, but it was really someone else's, unless I've lived it out and kind of metabolized those ideas and let it absorb into the fabric of who I am, and then I can say it with a little more confidence and feel a little bit better about myself afterwards, So until this happens more accurately and more succinctly in my life, I'm just going to read the man's words. Cool? It's a book entitled Untamed Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Untamed Christian. You almost want to get like, ah. Right? Untamed Christian. Unleash Church. All right? So that's the title of this book by Terry Ward. Page 61. Position, don't perform. A preemptive apology if I step on any toes. It's really an opportunity for us to learn a new way of doing personal growth and transformation. What happens to us, and in many ways changes us, is linked to how we position ourselves in life. I'm convinced of that. What we do doesn't in itself really change us. Neither do the choices we make. The choices and the actions do, what they do is they position us to be changed. Stick with me. They place us in the path of potential transformation. The power of that transformation does not rest on what we do or do not do. Learning this is essential to the entire journey of spiritual formation or transformation. I could reword that in the context here. Learning all of this is essential to the entire journey of frontier. When properly understood, it redefines what it means to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. If you don't have anybody ever read to you, find someone, because it's wonderful. It kind of brings you back to when you were a kid. And you just settle in and you just start to listen. That's why I like podcasts too, but I like it better when Tiffany reads to me. We face a problem in the church today related to spiritual growth and maturity. Many believers are being taught that change is the direct result of certain acceptable Christian behaviors. If you want to grow, you need to read your Bible, go to church, meet with other Christians, tithe, witness, and spend time in prayer. If you do, you'll change. If you don't, you will not. And to the degree of which you do these things is directly related to the amount of change taking place in your life. That's what's being proposed in the church today. Terry says, I disagree. Not a little bit, but a lot. And my disagreement is focused on the question of where the power of transformation lies. In the philosophy mentioned above, transformation is about what you do, your performance, your striving, your hard work at being spiritual that makes you spiritual. People may say it is God's work, but truth be told, the onus of change is placed upon you, the performer. It is all based on the belief that certain activities like reading the Bible and such change you. And so the goal of discipleship then becomes getting you to read or attend or tell or give so that you can become more like Jesus. That notion is incorrect and unhelpful. It leads to self-righteousness and legalism on the one hand and exhaustion and discouragement on the other hand. Reading the Bible does not change anyone. Nor do any of the other, quote, spiritual or religious activities. Am I saying that they are unnecessary or unimportant? Absolutely not. I mean, they are commanded by God and critical to our lives, but they are critical not in the doing, but in how the doing positions us before God for transformation. Let me say it another way. The importance in, for example, regularly reading Scripture lies and how the activity positions you for change. It puts you in a place where God is known to move. And by being there, you have the possibility of a transforming engagement with God. The change happens only because God touches you. He was able to touch you because you had positioned yourself before him in a place that he has been known to act. Places like Scripture, and prayer, and gathering, and worship, and servanthood, and so forth.
God alone holds the power to change us into the image of Jesus. Do I have to say that again? God alone holds the power to change us into the image of Jesus. In ourselves, all the striving, performing, and working hard at spirituality doesn't do a thing. At least not anything positive. The change we need is too great ever to be accomplished by human effort. Our role in the process is all about positioning and surrendering. We make the choice to engage in an activity like a spiritual discipline as a way of actively positioning ourselves before God. And to the degree He chooses, God meets us there and works the miracle of transformation. God not only uses the spiritual things we do, but also uses every aspect of our lives. The victories, the defeats, the successes, the failures, the mountaintops, the valleys, all become opportunities for God to bring us into deeper change. If we position when we surrender. Thanks, Terry. So how do we position ourselves to receive the grace that's available for us in the frontier? I want to give you two bookends. I believe one of the first things we do is we remember that whatever frontier you're in, you're entering into, you're in the middle of, you're discouraged about, you're tempted to park it there and build a new settlement, wherever you're at in this, you're intended to walk that journey out with the Trinity. So reading the Bible means positioning yourself to draw near to Jesus and let Him speak to you. Praying means positioning yourself to honestly share your thoughts and what's rolling around in your heart to the Father. Times of silence and solitude mean positioning yourself to experience whatever it is the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you. And maybe the thing that He wants to reveal to you is that you can just settle and be quiet for a minute and experience and enjoy peace. And that's enough. Fellowshipping with others means positioning yourself for life-on-life exchanges of honest reflection, encouragement, and even challenges if the conversation warrants it. I will tell you this, that when I came back from this trip to the Winds and Tiffany and the girls were asking, tell me your highlights. Tiffany, what did I say? I said it was the conversations I had with those two dudes. Seriously. And they weren't always easy. Because we've known each other long enough to be able to speak honestly and truthfully without anybody kind of rearing up and getting defensive. I mean, it's a good friend that will be willing to tell you that your stuff stinks if it stinks, right? So we had those kind of conversations. And so, that being said, it kind of leads me to the next thing here. None of this is about playing church or being self-righteous, masquerading itself as like the super spirituality. I mean, again, it's all about transformation and not behavior modification. The onus is on God, not us. And so we position ourselves to experience this stuff. And we're to walk this out with the Trinity. So the other bookend then is to ask someone to listen. One is to remember that you're to walk this out with the Trinity. The other one lends itself to that last thing I shared about having conversations where you have someone in your life that you can verbally process your frontier with. I think those two bookends, remembering that you're not just going through the motions, that this is about an encounter with a living God who wants to meet you in your frontier and is willing to walk with you through it, thick and thin, everything, every dynamic of your frontier, Jesus is with you in that. And then moving into the context of doing this in community, where this bookend over here, and it could just be one person. And to be honest, there are some who this is their frontier. They're learning how to like relate to people deeply. And so it might be tough for you to find that one person. And I'm just going to tell you right now, honestly, it's okay if you hire a counselor for a season. I don't want that to become your new settlement, but I want it to help you develop some new tools so that you can take that into other relationships where you're now more free, more confident in your capacity to share what's going on inside of you. You've developed some new muscles where you're able to process verbally with somebody, because maybe that is your frontier. And it's absolutely okay. Again, the hope is that you would walk this out with other people, and mutually you would be able to share your frontiers with each other. That's the one thing you won't get with a counselor. They're not going to tell you anything about their life. Maybe they will. But I would just tell you this, that I mean, the bookend that I'm imagining for us is that we would each have at least one person. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a dear friend, an anamkara, a person that you have heart-to-heart connection with where you can share with them even the wild, crazy, wacky stuff about your frontier that you're just trying to process and say, am I crazy here or is this like legitimately God? I don't know. It's okay to go there with somebody. Those are the bookends. So the point is, transformation is always best served up in the company of others, both the Trinity and the body. So with that, I just want to end it. So why don't you pray with me, okay? So Father, thank you so much for that question. What's the frontier? Where do you have us currently, and where do you invite us? What do you invite us into? It's a question that only you can answer, friends. And so I just want to encourage you to spend some time this week meditating on that and allowing that courage that the Lord is stirring in you right now, the faith to not settle into a boring Christianity and not settle into, you know, just the self-help sort of mechanisms that get propped up in the church. I want to invite you to connect with Jesus and ask him, what's the frontier? And where are you taking me? And I just want to just stir that in us a little bit. That the Lord's got some really great things for us, because our eyes haven't seen it, our ears haven't heard about it yet, and our hearts have not imagined all the things that God has for you in this frontier. So Lord, I bless everybody here who is leaning into you. I bless everybody here who's leaning into you. And I pray, God, that your presence would be so near to them, and that you would meet them in their times of silence and solitude and readings and however it is that we're positioning ourselves. Lord, I just pray that you would encounter them. And I bless you all to experience the love of God and to experience the voice of Christ in new, profound ways this new season. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.